You understand, Mr. Westbrook, that we were quite reticent in letting a group of reprobates take over our recording studio to produce a show.
Yes, I realize that, Mr. Harris, and we were very grateful.
And if it were up to me, you wouldn't be allowed anywhere near this station.
Well, we were...
I'll be keeping a very close eye on you. You're on a short leash, Mr. Westbrook, a short leash.
Hey, you want to see my impression of him?
No, didn't you hear him? We have to be professional about this. Let's be mature.
Come on, dude, lighten up. Dude probably got daddy issues or something.
That dude can get us kicked out of here, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we have to...
So how does this coffee machine work?
Hey, Harris said we were supposed to stay out of the break room.
Yeah, but he isn't here, is he?
Just stay out of there.
Fine.
Alright, now where's Jaden? We're supposed to review the script.
What script?
This script.
That's blank.
And that's the problem.
Nah, that's your problem. I'm a performer, not a writer.
Gage, you're the worst actor out of all of us.
And McLean set the bar pretty low.
Hey, I have a very important role here, and I'll thank you not to belittle me.
All you did was come up with a show name.
What does it mean, anyway?
Heroes don't take water breaks? Well, you know, heroes, they don't have time for water breaks.
So we're advocating dehydration?
No.
Are we the heroes in this situation?
Look, it just sounded cool, okay?
Well, what have I missed?
Jaden, where have you been?
Coffee run. I was going to get you guys some, but I can't stand being at Starbucks for longer than 10 minutes. That hipster music gives me headaches.
A hipster would say that.
Say that again, and I'll twist your arm into a pretzel.
Guys, can we just get to brainstorming the script ideas, please?
Exactly how desperate are we for script ideas?
Pretty desperate. We're supposed to be recording the show today, and we ain't got a thing.
Then will you finally consider the one I've been trying to get you to do all month?
Oh, no.
Picture this. Foggy day, old brick office building. The camera zooms in through the third floor window.
Camera?
Microphone, whatever. And there we see our hero. Feet up on the desk, smoke curling around his head. The hard-hitting, hard-drinking, two-fisted private detective, Frankie Spork. Do you know how hard it is these days to find a private eye name that hasn't already been taken?
Alright, fine. Go make some copies. I'll tell the sound guy to fire up the recording equipment.
Case file 237998. Title, The Maltese Sparrow. It was a cold day in New York. Business had been slow, and I spent about 5 hours resorting the stacks of unpaid bills on the desk. Around 3 o'clock, I got kind of hungry, and I ate half a sandwich I found in the bottom of my desk. It was pretty old. I felt kind of sick afterwards. Then I took a nap. Oh, by the way, I'm a private eye. Named Spork. Frankie Spork. I enjoy my job most days, since most days people ain't really in the market for a private detective. But then when it comes time to pay the bills, you realize a client here and there would help with that. The time had come for me. The door opened slowly and she sauntered in. She was a long, cool woman in a black dress, with the soul of the devil in her eyes. Or maybe she wasn't. That could have been a song lyric I heard once. My memory isn't too good. At any rate, this dame was knockout gorgeous. I mulled it over in my head for a quick half second and decided I was in love. Then she had to go and ruin everything by opening her mouth.
Hey, Mac, what's cooking?
Pardon?
I said, what's cooking, good looking?
Can I help you?
Yeah, I guess I need you to find someone.
A voice coach?
My brother! He went missing a few days ago.
Why didn't you call the cops?
They wouldn't let me past the front desk after they heard me talk.
Don't blame them.
What was that?
Nothing. What's this about your brother?
Here's a picture. His name's Bobby. I think he went and got himself kidnapped.
Why do you think that?
He told me he witnessed someone murder a guy who tried to steal the counterfeit money he was using to smuggle drugs across the border to fund a revolutionary movement trying to assassinate a foreign leader.
That would do it. Where'd you see him last?
Down by the docks.
All right, lady. I'll do my best to bring him back alive. That was a lie. Her brother was totally dead at this point. But she gave me a pretty sizable retainer, so I figured false hope was better than nothing. Plus, I had money to go get a steak dinner. I was eating that dinner when I spotted someone familiar sitting in a booth across the restaurant. Hey, you're off with the rat. When did you get out of the clink?
Leave me alone, Spork. I ain't done nothing wrong this time.
Don't give me that. A guy like you is always doing something wrong.
I ain't done nothing. Why did you go and pick on someone else, Flatfoot?
I might. By the way, you seen any corpses lately that look like the guy in this photo?
Maybe. Who's he?
Doesn't matter. I just need to make sure he's worm food so I can close my case.
Yeah, I might have seen him. But he ain't worm food.
Huh?
I seen him stay at my hotel. Got a room on the second floor. Hey, Spork, you gonna finish that steak? Spork?
Well, this must be my lucky day. First to find that half sandwich on my desk and how a clue falls right in my lap. I better be careful. I might get a big head about this.
Psst. Bud.
Huh?
Hey, Bud.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Come here a minute.
The thug had stepped out of the shadows in the alley. He motioned me to step closer, and suddenly I felt the cold steel of a snub-nosed 32 pressed against my stomach.
Don't move. Word on the street is, you're looking for a fella named Bobby.
What's it to you?
Well, he's a friend of mine. Sent me to tell you to forget about it.
About what?
It.
What?
You know what I mean.
I honestly don't.
Are you being serious with me?
Completely. I like your gun. Where'd you get it?
Look, just knock it off, okay?
Knock what off?
Stop that!
Well, you're not being a very effective thug. Come on, man, communicate.
Look, just forget it. I'm gonna go get a drink.
Okay, see ya. Nice chap. Now, what was that? Oh, yeah. I had barely gotten a few steps away when I heard him. He doubled back and grabbed me from behind. I had no time to fight back as his ham-sized fist beat a catchy little tune into my skull. Next thing I knew, my whole world had gone black. This seems to happen a lot to me. Like, on every case, I end up knocked out in an alley. Almost like a cheap cliche used in a genre that's already full of too many cheap cliches to count. But I suppose we're getting a little too techno here. Where was I? Oh yeah, passed out in an alley. Well, eventually I came to. The stars spinning around my head reminded me of any given Saturday night in Charlie's Bar and Grill. Except Charlie doesn't usually leave bruises on the front of your face. Unless you criticize the cheap liquor he serves. Man, that guy is touchy. Where was I? Oh yeah, I finally made it back to the hotel Bobby was supposedly in, readying myself to tangle with his captors. I approached the door stealthily and withdrew my gun. Then I remember my right to carry had been revoked after I shot that old lady's cat in the park last month. Which really wasn't my fault, because the doc says I can't control my habit of panicking around other small animals. So what I had withdrawn was nothing more than... Oh hey, that other half of that sandwich. I was wondering where it went. Guess I'll save it for later. Now what was I doing? Oh yeah. Hey Bobby, you in there?
Bobby, is Noah here, senor? Please come back some other time, please.
You sure about that?
Pretty sure, senor. Now please get going now.
I'm coming in, pal. This sandwich is loaded. Hey, Bobby.
Great. Did she send you?
Who?
My sister.
Where's the guy who kidnapped you?
I made that up. Look, pal, you gotta let me go.
So wait, you made your sister think you got kidnapped just so you could hide out here?
Have you heard her voice?
Yeah, guess I don't blame you. Thanksgiving dinner must be rough.
Wanna go get a drink?
Sure, you're buying. And so I decided it was best to leave my nose out of the situation where it belonged. I felt kinda sorry for the poor guy. On the other hand, though, I didn't have anything to tell his sister, so I just ignored her messages, didn't answer my phone, and threw a bucket of water at her every time she tried to come into the office. Eventually, she got the hint and left me alone. Oh, and the Maltese Sparrow? I have no idea what that is. I think I got my case files mixed up. I really should get a secretary.
Hello, this is field reporter Leroy Straddle reporting for Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks. Our man on the street question for today is, what do you think of the current political climate? I'm out here on the sidewalk in front of the station looking for an average man. Here's one now. Excuse me, sir, may I ask your name?
Who wants to know?
Our radio audience, sir.
Well, Sennheimer von Snorthoff III. Most people call me Sidney.
Well, our man on the street question of the day...
My friends always call me Sid.
Of course. Our man on the street question...
You can call me Sidney.
Yes, well, our man on the street question of the day is, what do you think of the current political climate?
Well, I suppose it'll rain. Unless, of course, it don't.
I didn't mean the weather, Mr. Snorthoff. I was referring to political discourse. What do you think of the nature of our political conversation as a country?
Well, I guess that depends on who's in the conversation.
Well, yes, but many would argue that everyone is involved in the political conversation.
No, we aren't. You're the first guy I've talked to in the week.
Okay, well, let me put it another way. Who did you vote for in the election?
Billy Peterson. Billy Peterson? Best class president Madison Middle School ever had. Oh. Well, I was referring to our United States presidential election.
We have one of those?
Yeah, how do you think we elected the president?
I thought you just locked everyone in a room and whoever survived the longest got the job.
Okay, well, would you mind sharing your political beliefs?
Well, I believed in Santa Claus till I was 17. All the other kids made fun of me for it, but I held that hope. Never give up the ship, that's my motto.
Yes, well, that's,
Never go down without a fight. Never throw stones at glass houses. Never dance with the devil in the pale moonlight.
Thank you very much, Mr. Snorthoff, for this candid, Man on the Street interview. I'm Leroy Straddle, back up to you in the studio.
Hey, can you let me sing a song on the mic?
No, get away. Hey, shh.
Okay, what now? We got a whole rest of an episode to do.
We could interview a hobo.
Why on earth would we interview a hobo?
Why on earth wouldn't we interview a hobo?
We could always do those scripts you tore up in a fit of rage after they gave you a paper cut.
Oh yeah, I should really stop doing that. Lose a lot of material that way. Find some scotch tape and let's get this ball rolling.
Hey, Doc.
Ah, my new patient. Lay down on the couch, if you will.
This one?
Yes, that's the only couch.
Okay. Say, this is comfortable.
Let's start with ambitions. What would you say is your biggest dream?
I once dreamed I was stuck on an island with an army of flying turtles.
That's not quite what I meant.
It was a really weird dream.
I'm sure it was.
Honest.
Let me rephrase. What do you want to accomplish most in life?
I don't know. I guess I just want people to like me.
Ah, a needy personality.
I wouldn't call it that.
Of course you wouldn't.
I think I'm a pretty likable guy.
Yes, yes. How's your home life?
Eh, seems like I don't get much privacy these days. Can't seem to leave the house for a night without bumping into someone who recognizes me.
Ah, delusions of grandeur.
Huh?
Well, surely not everyone you meet knows you.
I don't know. Seems like it.
Yes. Did you have a happy childhood?
It was a regular childhood, I guess.
Regular?
Yeah, regular.
How so?
Well, I was a kid.
And?
And then I grew up.
I see, yes.
I swear it's true.
I believe you. Now, what do you think is the biggest issue in your life?
I don't know, Doc. I'm just feeling pressured.
Pressured, hmm.
You know, like a lot of people are counting on me.
I see.
My wife was getting all over me yesterday. She's like, ooh, a lot of people are counting on you.
Well, that would explain why you feel like a lot of people are counting on you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Good, good. We are making progress. When would you say you started feeling like this?
Probably about a month ago, when I got the new job.
Huh. Want to talk about this job?
It's nothing big, really. I didn't even want to do it in the first place.
Then why did you take it?
My wife wanted me to get a hobby.
I see. Patient, henpecked by wife.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm henpecked. I'm a pretty independent guy.
Hmm. Are you getting along with your coworkers?
I really get the feeling that half of them don't like me. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yes. Hmm. Paranoia.
All they ever want to do is talk politics. Drives me crazy. It's all about current events and blah blah blah. I feel like no one ever wants to talk about baseball anymore.
Baseball?
Yeah, you know, good game of baseball. I saw a great game yesterday. They even let me throw a pitch.
How long have you had delusions of being a pitcher?
It's not delusions. The Yankees let me throw the ball.
Of course they did.
Honest.
Yes. Did you love your mother?
Why are you asking?
Just curious.
Well, don't be so nosy. Thank you.
Oh, it looks like our time is up.
Oh. You know, Doc, I really don't think this therapy thing is working.
Don't give up so quick. Come back next week for another session.
I guess. Thanks anyway.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye.
Miss Stevens, can you send the next patient in, please? Oh, and who is that last patient? He looked familiar.
Jack Saturday. I work for the San Francisco Police Department. My name's Jack Saturday. I work for the San Francisco Police Department. Huh. Maybe if I paused a bit more after Saturday.
Police! Police! Settle down, mister. What's the problem?
I just witnessed a murder.
Dan?
Yeah, Jack?
Cuff him.
You got it, Jack.
What are you doing? I'm not the murderer.
I'm just keeping Dan in practice. Let him go, Dan.
Sure, Jack.
Alrighty, mister. What's your name?
James. James Dean.
That is not your name at all.
Robert. Sam.
Sam's your last name?
Yes.
Never trust someone with the first name for last name, Dan. You got that?
I got it, Jack.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Sam. If you saw murder as you claim, why didn't you go to the police?
What? You are the police.
So we are. Come on, Dan, let's go. Alrighty, Sam Roberts.
It's Robert Sam.
That's ridiculous. Mr. Roberts, is this where the murder was?
Yes, just inside the theater there.
The theater? You an actor, Roberts?
Yes, I'm a thespian.
I didn't ask about your religion. Come on, let's go inside, Dan. Alright, listen up, everybody. While you people are acting, some of us got real jobs to take care of. Now, it seems a murder has happened here today, and we're here to find out who did it. Your cooperation would be gladly appreciated.
Well, I saw...
Did I ask you to speak, Romeo? How about you stick to the lines of your script until I find time to get to you?
Detective Saturday, don't you think you're being rather rude?
I'm not here to be nice, I'm here to help people. Where's the body?
It's over here, backstage.
Okay, let's go have a look at it. Follow me, Dan. Ooh, this doesn't look good. Haven't seen a death face this frightening since.
No, that's someone rehearsing a death scene. The body is behind you.
Oh. He's definitely dead.
Should I write that down?
I wish you would. How did you die, Roberts?
He went behind the curtain to enter in as the scene called for. When he missed his cue, we called out for him and he didn't respond. Then we went back there and found him like this, with a bump on the head.
Okay. What's the play you're doing?
The Scottish play.
The what?
The one by Shakespeare?
I've never heard of that.
Oh, no, I know what he means.
What?
He's talking about a famous Shakespeare play. Actors think it's a bad luck to say the name of it in the theater out loud, so they call it things like The Scottish Play.
Exactly.
That's just silly. What's the actual name of the play?
It's written over there on the marquee.
No.
Don't say it out loud. It brings bad luck to those in the theater.
That's ridiculous. How could I bring bad luck to people just by saying Macbeth? Ooh, this is creepy.
Help, help!
Come on, Dan, we have a duty to uphold.
I can't.
Dan, now's not the time for cowardice. There's people in trouble.
It's not that. I have my foot caught in these stupid curtain ropes.
Alright, I'll go by myself.
Help!
What's the problem, man?
I just saw the murderer. He ran past me with a bloody knife.
Which way did he go?
That way, into the dressing room.
Ah, I've got him cornered. All right, I've got you. The jig is up.
What?
You're cornered. There's no way out. Make it easy for yourself and come with me.
What are you talking about?
You murdered that actor lying dead out there.
What? Someone's dead?
Of course someone's dead. You stabbed him with that bloody knife.
This is just a prop. It's fake. Putting it in the dressing room for the actor that plays the, lead character.
The lead character?
You know, the title of the play.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Nothing is gonna happen if you just say Macbeth. Huh, that's the second time. Okay, what's the problem now, people?
He's alive!
Is it a zombie, Jack?
Jeez, I'm fine. Don't any of you guys know how to take a pulse? I just got knocked out when I hit my head on these pipes over here.
No, Dan, no zombie. This man is fine. Looks like he just got knocked out when he hit his head on those pipes over there.
Great work, Jack.
You bet. It is an easy job, but it's gotta be done. That'll be $20, Mr. Roberts.
What? Since when do police charge for work?
They don't. You ever hear of a tip? These are rough streets, even rougher theaters. This company of actors experienced the shock of their lives when they found out one of their own had their act cut short. But through a stellar performance, I was able to stage a trap for the murderer, and it was curtains for crime. Let's go, Dan. Lunch is on me. I just got a good tip.
This is Leroy Straddle, field reporter for Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks, back again to ask another man on the street question. Dave, is the microphone on? Dave. Dave, put the phone down for a second. Answer me. No, I don't think the mic's recording. Well, usually there's a little red light. No, I don't see. Oh, what's on? Okay, never mind. I got it. The question today is, how do you feel about the tax increase to benefit local schools? Now, let's see. Oh, here's a lady who looks like she'd have an informed opinion. Excuse me, ma'am. What do you... excuse me, ma'am. What do you think of the...
I have a real look at the thing. Why don't we hold on with the mic? What are you... Is it cut?
All right, is it on now? Hey, are we live? Okay, now, ma'am, I believe we're discussing...
I'm not doing this again. Oh, no, wait.
Okay, I am seriously going to hurt whoever ordered these mics. Dave, do we have any... No, the field mic's not working, Dave. Dave, I don't care what game you're playing on your phone. Give me some help over here. Hey! Oh, you really want to start something with me, huh? You know what? I can send you right back to the temp agency, Dave. Dave, you want to shove me around? This is Leroy Straddle signing off. Back to you guys in the studio.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2 with but one inning more to play. And then, when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a pall-like silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to hope, which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did also Jimmy Blake, and the former was a hoodoo, while the latter was a cake. So upon that stricken multitude, grim melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single, to the wonderment of all, and Blake the much despised tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted, and the men saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second, and Flynn a hugging third. Then from 5,000 throats and more, there rose a lusty yell. It rumbled through the valley, it rattled in the dell. It pounded on the mountain and recoiled on the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing and a smile in Casey's face. And when, responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat, no stranger in the crowd could doubt, 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded as he wiped them on his shirt. Then, while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance flashed in Casey's eyes. A sneer curled Casey's lip. And now, the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said. From the benches, black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of the storm waves on a stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" shouted someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult, he bade the game go on, he signaled to the pitcher, and once more the dun sphere flew. But Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two!" "Fraud!" cried the maddened thousands, and echo answered, "Fraud!" But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold, they saw his muscles strain, and they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer is gone from Casey's lip, his teeth are clutched in hate. He pounds with cool violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout.
But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Because he's so funny. I agree.
I'm definitely happy you're still talking.
Yeah, I definitely want to settle in.
You know, if you decide you want to smack him upside the head, I'm perfectly
fine. That hurt. That hurt in here. And on my face.
Case file 237.
Okay. All right. Quiet. Oh,
I'm the funny one, yeah.
Hey, Jasper, how do you make a French wine?
Well, how do you make a French wine, Sylvester?
Why you kick him in the shins?
Oh my god, dude, this is gonna be so long.
shine on harvest moon, up in the sky.
The thug had stepped out of the... dude, I'm mad.
Get mad.
I ain't had no lovin' since January, February, June, or July. So shine on, harvest moon.
He ain't warm from dough. Oh, I messed that one up.
We were sailing along on Moonlight Bay.
Hey, can you tell me what's on the outside of that door?
Hey, go see if this lock still works. Hey, could you go give me a sandwich or something? I ordered it in Los Angeles.
Moving to the right.
Los Angeles.
You could hear the voices singing.
Deeper.
They
deeper.
Seem to say.
Could you just read the line, please?
You have stolen my heart. Now don't go away.
Oh, no.
As we sang love's old sweet song on Moonlight Bay.
Vicious shown visage.
No, that's not the word at all.
What is it?
Visage.
Great Casey's visage thrown. Great Casey's visage.
Look up the pronunciation.
No, it's fine. Visage. Great Casey's visage. Visage shown. Visage thrown.
You're bad at this.
Sound effects and music credits, visit kciw.org/credits.
Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIWLP, out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM. Did you know that you can get involved with our programming? Our nonprofit organization is entirely volunteer-run, and there are plenty of fun and fulfilling opportunities to apply your skills and talents. If you're interested, visit our website at www.kciw.org and click Get Involved to see what kinds of exciting opportunities we at KCIW can offer you.